Blog Talk Radio.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Welcome to H Blues Word.
You are now rocking with the best.
Good evening. I am your host, Stacey Brewer, and you are listening to H Blues Word on Hampton Blue Radio via Blog Talk. It is Friday, Friday the 13th, 2013. If this is the first time you are listening to us, you can follow us on Twitter at Hampton Blue or like our page on Facebook.com/HamptonBlue. Again, no E on the blue, so that is BLU. Our show is also available on iTunes and the TuneIn Radio app. Simply search Hampton Blue Radio, and there we will be. Now, tonight, I will be discussing the music industry and its fight with the digital world and whether record labels are dying a slow death, as one commentator put it. Will there be record labels in the future? So we're going to discuss at least our thoughts on it, because there's no real way to predict the future, but we'll just share our thoughts. But first, a clip from Moby regarding the current state of the music industry from his perspective, the fear about letting go, the past, and the excitement about the future. Check it out.
I don't really have too many musician friends. Most of the musicians I know have day jobs. You know, so they play music at night and they'd love to get a record deal, but because the record companies are all falling apart, most people have been, it's forced people to approach a more DIY, or to take a more DIY approach. Where the musicians I know, they're starting their own record companies. They're releasing things online. They're getting friends of theirs to do publicity. They're, you know, it's people becoming a lot more self-reliant and a lot more autonomous, which I think is great. Because the record companies aren't going to be around in 5 years, you know, or at least they're not going to be around in anything resembling the form that they've had for the last 50 years. So it's a frightening time for a lot of people, but I know this sounds cliched, but it's also a really exciting time. And I think music has benefited, you know, the actual quality of music has been a lot better, because a lot of people are putting out records purely for the love of putting out records and not hoping to sell millions of copies, because no one sells millions of copies. So the rise of like the indie rock scene, well, independent music in general, I think it's been really good for music creatively. And it's also, you know, it's turned the music world into more of a, like a Scandinavian country as opposed to a South American country. Meaning, you know, if you look at like Paraguay in the 1970s, all the wealth was concentrated in like 0.1% of the population, and everybody else was poor. And that's kind of, or you look at Sweden, where it was sort of like the wealth was distributed evenly among most of the people in the country. And the music business up until recently was like Paraguay in the 70s, where you had 0.0001% of the musicians on the planet selling tens of millions of records. And all the other musicians are sort of like, you know, struggling to try and get the attention of a record company. And what's happened now is you have a lot of musicians and a lot of DJs who are selling 10,000 records here, 50,000 records there, and they can make a living. You know, they're not getting rich, but they're doing relatively okay. I personally think, I mean, the demise of the record business is almost, if you have to point blame anywhere, sadly, it's at the record companies themselves. You know, because in the 80s and 90s, they kept charging more and more for CDs, even as the costs came down. You know, so it's almost like the record labels would arbitrarily just keep charging more and more. And they were signing bands who had a shelf life of about 6 months, so there's no loyalty. You know, people were buying CDs in the 90s because they liked a song they'd heard on the radio, but they could care less about the artist. And so the labels weren't doing artist development, and as a result, there was no loyalty engendered. And so when the record companies fell apart, most listeners, you know, it's hard to get too upset for record companies falling apart when they've treated artists terribly for so long and treated consumers terribly for so long.
Now, September 12th, yesterday, Vibe.com premiered a documentary titled Downloaded. It was brought to them by VH1. Downloaded goes back to the turn of the millennium and explores how one guy's idea took down the music industry. And that guy is Sean Parker, the founder of Napster. Now, before there was YouTube, Facebook, even MySpace, there was Napster. People would spend hours in front of their computers downloading all of their favorite tunes. At the time, there were no clear-cut laws against such activity, so millions of files would be transferred for free overnight. Record labels were losing millions of dollars probably every night. And it felt, however, like a gift, if you will, to the consumer, but obviously it probably felt like robbery to the major labels, and rightfully so. It was robbery. Because artists should get paid for the work that they do. Executives should also get paid for the work that they do. So we now know that getting music for free is not the best idea just for the music business and even for the consumer to continue to have artists write great material. You know, of course, someone can be creative on their own and for free, but in order for it to enter the marketplace and for it to be presented to the world, you know, there has to be some type of incentive there for the artists. You know, they have to make a living. So it's no good for even us to get these things for free. Now, rumor has it, going back to Napster, that the founder of Napster, Parker, at one point approached major labels with his idea of music being transferred, downloaded online. But, you know, the music industry was not sold on that idea. And now remember, because this was around the mid-90s, so remember around that time, the mid-90s, the Internet was really new, you know, at that time. People didn't know what the potential of the Internet was or fully understood what it could be. You know, I do recall seeing an interview with the late, great Apple founder, Jobs, where he talked about the future of the Internet. He saw this, but, you know, most people did not. But hindsight is 2020. You know, we can now say labels made a dumb decision by not going with this guy, but, you know, at the time, they probably thought this was a bunch of bullcrap, you know, to put it in, you know, layman's terms. But, you know, again, they obviously did not have the proper forward-thinking executives in place in terms of this whole new media, who would understand this whole new media. Now they do, but at the time, obviously, they did not. So these people, you know, perhaps just, again, did not understand the future of the Internet. Or maybe they knew but just thought they were invincible. I mean, because at the time, they were making tons of money, millions, billions, in the 80s, the 90s, and early millennium. Plus, their history, the music industry's history, has always been slow when it comes to embracing new technologies. I mean, they barely wanted to sell CDs. But their denial of Napster really caused a disruption and has arguably created a generation of people who now expect pretty much to get music for free. Plus, you know, attention spans are low, so we are not going to wait on a release like people used to in back in the day, you know, months. You know, artists will promote and promote a new album, and people anticipate it. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily work this day and age. We are not going to wait. We want that music now. I believe that's why Jay-Z surprised us with Magna Carta the way he did. You know, he created the illusion that, you know, this album just kind of came out of the blue, but I'm pretty sure he worked on it for months. But to the public, he did not release the promotion of it until he, you know, days, maybe a few days prior to him officially releasing it. So, you know, in the eyes of the public, it was a quick turnaround. I think Kanye West, same thing. It was just, you know, coming out with an album, next few weeks it was out, or next few days even. So, you know, that's the industry now. It's a type of almost like a shock and awe. You know, grab them while you can and release as quick as you can, you know, mainly even mobily, initially as most people, or I'm sorry, mainly mobily, because as we know, most people are on their mobiles more than sometimes even on their actual televisions or watching their televisions or on their regular old school desktop computers. Mobiles are almost like a second body part. So Jay-Z obviously understood that, or he and his team understood that, and were smart with this type of release, as it's, as he called it, it was kind of a new rules. He was setting up new rules. And new rules he, in fact, created as the RIAA, who counts the amount of album sales that are sold and give out the platinum plaques or gold plaques, whatever. The RIAA changed their rules on album sales, as some of you may remember regarding the Jay-Z situation. He went platinum in one day. He no longer had to wait 30 days for his certification. And remember how he went platinum, again, the mobile. Samsung bought 1 million copies. You know, having some question whether Jay-Z really went platinum, because it wasn't 1 million people who bought it. It was Samsung with $1 million who bought the album. It was one customer. So some are questioning whether it's fair for Jay-Z to even be counted as platinum. But again, he said, like he says, it's new rules. A sale is a sale. So, you know, that's kind of the change we're seeing here in the music industry. So this was one interesting scheme, if you will, of the music industry to continue to stay afloat, still sell their content, their music. But one may argue, can this stunt work for most artists? Likely not. Jay-Z is an icon. He started before this so-called digital age. He has had a jump start as he's, you know, already been in the industry for decades. He has millions of fans. Samsung, in essence, gave an icon $5 million to release their album on Samsung's device. So in many ways, Jay-Z can be looked at as, you know, almost endorsing Samsung. It was almost an endorsement deal. Most artists will not experience this. As Moby says, most artists have day jobs in addition to their career in the arts. Now, at the 2013 VMA Awards, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis won 3 awards. They won the award for Best Rap Video, Best Cinematography, and as well the Best Video with a Message. Now, what is special, why I'm even mentioning this, what is special about Macklemore and Ryan Lewis is that they are, for the most part, completely independent. And I say for the most part because initially I thought they were completely independent, but they do work, or they are linked to a company called Alternative Distribution Alliance, which is an indie business with ties to Warner Brothers that has helped with radio. So, you know, they have a slight connection to majors, but for the most part, they are an independent group. And yet they beat out other major artists who are signed to major labels, such as Drake, Beyonce, Rihanna, Lil Wayne, etc. Macklemore are not also the only ones who are strictly independent making waves in the music business. There's Tech N9ne, Mac Miller. All are forcing many to ask the main question of the night: are major labels, for the most part, an endangered species? In fact, Mac Miller's record label is independent. He's strictly independent, as we just stated. He still landed number one on the Billboard charts, a major chart. And his follow-up hit number 3. All of this done without a machine, a major machine of a major label staff, which usually has hundreds of executives. His team is just simply a 7-person staff. There was no fat, just efficiency and wins. So you know, that's the key here. It's independents are definitely making moves, and it's not just when it comes to hitting the charts. Tech N9ne as an indie is also making waves with concert bookings. He hit 192 on Polestar's 2012 Top 200 North American Tour chart. Major artists Drake, Pitbull, Jay-Z, Nicki Minaj, and Wiz Khalifa were the only rappers above him, and he's a strictly independent artist. Now, don't get me wrong. Signing to a major still has its benefits, as they do have an advantage with physical distribution, and I believe 220 albums were sold physically last year. So there's still, obviously, 220 million albums were sold last year, so there still is a market for it. It's dwindling, you know, slowly but surely. But then you also have their money. I mean, you can't deny that. They're worth billions of dollars. So the money, they have the major radio budgets. But with the digital world, what has happened or what has helped these indies is any and everybody can be on iTunes. They can sell their product on CD Baby. They can sell it on their own websites, whatever it is they want to do. Plus, there is the rise of satellite radio and internet radio. Hello, we're on Blog Talk. Distribution companies like InGroove, they keep the indie in the fight, the independent in the fight. Being indie is beneficial creatively and sometimes for the smaller artists, better for your bank account, as there may not or there may be less of recoupable costs. Major labels have tons of recoupable costs. In fact, some people say the moment you sell your first album, you're already in debt because you owe so much money. But major labels are still here, but we are definitely in an age where signing to a major is not always or may not always be the smartest move for you, but you as an artist have to figure that out. But now, major labels are definitely not out the fight. In fact, you know, some may say they will never die. As Moby stated, you know, he says they won't exist in 5 years, but who knows? I mean, again, we can't predict the future, but as it stands, labels are thinking of various creative ways to stay the leader or leaders of the music game, where the indies have the passion, perhaps the drive, and arguably more of the unique creativity to grab an audience who helps them fund themselves at the top. Major labels have the big bucks through decades of building an audience in name. I mean, you know, Michael Jackson was signed to a major label. Prince was signed to a major label. All these great artists funded these major labels, and they gave them billions. Thus, they can't afford to try the next big idea or ideas to keep them in the game, again, leaders of the game. For example, according to Forbes, last week it was announced that the Madison Square Garden company, MSG, in music business, Irving Azoff, would enter into a joint venture called Azoff MSG Entertainment. Now, many are calling this a peek into what the major record label of the future could be. MSG has agreed to pay Azoff Music Management $125 million and contribute a $50 million line of credit to the new company. Company will have four divisions: artist management, music publishing, television production, and live event branding and digital branding. Plus, the business makes sense to MSG as they could host concerts with the company's artists. You know, now, keep in mind, Azoff plus MSG's chairman, James Dolan, aren't calling this a record label, as that arguably, if you will, you know, why would they? Because arguably a record label is a dinosaur term. So, you know, they're about the future of whatever it is they're doing. Now, that's not the only new thing going on in the music business as it relates to the majors. There's Warner Brothers, or Warner Music Group, partnering with Clear Channel Radio, who owns 150 stations and has an internet station with iHeartRadio. They are partnering, and you know, many are saying that this is giving an unfair advantage to Warner Brothers because their artists will likely be more exposed than perhaps other artists, exposed on Clear Channel's multiple platforms. However, financial details have not been disclosed regarding this deal, you know, how much they're sharing in the revenue, et cetera. But one thing is, one thing I must mention, though, however, with this type of agreement that Warner Brothers has with Clear Channel is that indies have been making as well direct licensing deals with Clear Channel. However, Warner is the first major to engage in such a deal. Bob Pittman, the chief executive of Clear Channel, said the agreement with Warner Music is based on the arrangement with the indies. What we're doing is redefining, he says, the radio plus music label relationship for the digital age. He continues, the holy grail is that we build a marketplace that is robust, growing, and big, and I think if we can succeed in that, it's great. Now, those were his words, you know, regarding this merger. But some are a little nervous about it. Now, for the consumer and also, you know, this, he feels, will also feed them because with the revenue, it feeds them, and from there, they could supply more content. Now, the CEO of Warner, Stephen Cooper, says the partnership with Clear Channel will be a promotional boom. Now, again, what may give the indie boom some pause, however, again, with this agreement, is that Warner artists get priority. According to this deal, Warner artists will get priority for Clear Channel's campaigns that promote music. As we stated, majors will continue. That's what this says to me. Majors will continue to find a way to stay major, to stay at the top. Now, here's a quote from Sean Parker, founder of Napster. You can now be a master of your own destiny. I'm not sure why you would sign up with a record label. So that begs the question, you know, are record labels still relevant? You have the founder of Napster saying perhaps not. But, you know, I do think that that's a great quote. But allow me to say, major labels may be a dying breed or changing their structure, but some type of structure, in my opinion, still needs to exist. The reality is that not all can build their careers. I mean, you know, not everyone's going to be a Michael Moore. You know, not everyone's just going to be able to do that. I mean, not everyone has that in them. In fact, Barry Gordy, my idol, kind of backs this up. He discovered 54 years ago when he started Motown. And it's probably relevant today. You know, when he started Motown, a small label, a small indie label with a big sound, as they say, you know, he found that it was needed in Detroit because he knew only 1% of the people ever reached their full potential, period, in any business, in any part of your life. Like, most people just, they need some type of leadership. So he knew that he had 99% of the people to work with. That's why he started Motown. And he was correct. I mean, he hit the jackpot. He really helped the artists of Detroit to become icons. I mean, Stevie Wonder, Diana Ross, you know, The Temptations, Michael Jackson, the list goes on. So in my opinion, you know, we can say record labels are going to die or whatever, but there will have to be some type of structure with whatever happens with the music industry. But you know, will they be called labels or will they just be companies that house artists? We don't know. But whatever it is, I believe that it will be a structure. And now when it comes to major labels, we don't know what will happen with them. My prediction is perhaps they won't exist as we know it in 10 years. That's just my prediction, but here's a quote, and to me, it's a truism, and that is change is the only constant. So with these record labels, what else can you expect? You're going to need change. Now, that is my show for the evening. Now, be sure to catch Hollywood and Friends this Sunday at 8 p.m. I will also be back Monday to speak on DJ Mr. C and his latest sex scandal. There's a video out with him having pretty much soliciting a transsexual for sex. The question is he gay? 17 years ago today, the world lost a legend, an icon, Tupac Shakur. He died September 13th, 1996. Can't believe it's been this long. Time flies, but we will always remember Tupac, and may he truly rest in peace, and may his music live on. We also would like to remember four little girls who died after their church, the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, was bombed September 15th, 1963, so almost 50 years ago. You know, on Sunday it'll be 50 years ago that happened, so may they rest in peace as well. You know, there's a lot of remembrance tonight. So with that, the inspiration for tonight will be music from the late, great Tupac. I'm personally in the mood for one of my favorites from him, and that song is called Do For Love. So until next time, peace.
I wanna take your misery, replace it with happiness, but I need your faith in me.